Good morning. This morning's reading is Psalm 107, and you can find it on page 600 of your Bibles. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city, where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord.
Now it all sounds a bit repetitive, doesn't it? I kind of need a little screen. I booked some tickets to fly the other week. You know, like you can pick your seat. I sort of need like a picture of all the seats and it shows me who's falling asleep. Pew! Pew! Don't go there. Pew! Anyway, I'll try not to put you to sleep as we go through this repetitive cycle, but I can assure you that there's much to say here and it's very relevant to our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to see the way that we desire and thirst for things that are apart from you. Help us to come and see the truths of your word, that in the midst of our troubles and despair, times when we might question you, question your love for us, help us to see the depth of your love anew, afresh today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, growing up all my life in the subtropics, firstly in southeast Queensland, then down here in the Northern Rivers, I've never really been able to experience the four seasons. You know, summer, autumn, winter, spring. And so it's of no surprise that a region like ours gets called Summerland. And a picture like this one can really begin to capture that. This was our family last winter down at Byron Bay that I cheekily sent to family members down in Tasmania, simply with the title of none other than Summerland, nothing else. And so we don't get that distinct contrast, do we? As we move through the different seasons from a cycle of cold and bleak to warm and radiant. And yet today in our psalm, it takes us through the seasons. It takes us through a cycle from cold and despair to warm and hopeful. As the psalmist recounts history, he recounts the history, its history lessons, history of God's people, through times of heartache to the joys of salvation and finally to the rich refrain, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. So I wonder this morning if that might become the refrain of your life, that whatever season of life you might be in, but that can be hard, can't it? Because if we are truly honest, sometimes we don't feel like God does love us. Sometimes we can feel like God has actually failed us. Because we look at the circumstances of our life and we look around at the haze and the confusion and we find it very hard to identify these wonderful deeds of God that he has done for us. I wonder if that's you this morning. Well, God's word tells us to take heart, that as we come to his word, it guarantees us that come what may, we too can join in to sing this song of God's unfailing love. Well, it wasn't until our first year in Sydney in 2007 that Susan and I really got to experience the four seasons. Our first time away while we were down there was a night or two in the Southern Highlands, which is southwest of Sydney. And the change in the colours there in autumn were amazing. And down in the hall of the place we were staying were a host of pictures just lined the hallways of this hotel, absolutely covered in snow. That year we wouldn't go to see the snow, but we were back for a burst of spring colours as tulips filled the district's parks and gardens. Such a contrast. Such a contrast in this place as it moved through the seasons, a cycle from cool and dark to bright and colourful. And that's what we find in Psalm 107. An up and down cycle, feelings of bitterness and cold to great warmth and joy. Let's have a look at it from verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. You see, these guys find themselves in a dark place. They are desperate and alone, and are wondering if life will even continue. Yet from the midst of the despair in verse 6, they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. You see, even though these guys are in a desert, it feels like they're out in the cold, like they are alone, like winter is blown in. And far from these guys having bellies full in hibernation, their tummies are empty. They feel the spark of life is slipping away. The only resource they have left is to cry, is to call out and to yell out in their trouble. And suddenly, signs of life appear. Just a bud, then a blossom. And springs to life as God intervenes in the back half of verse 6, and he delivers them from their distress. You see, from the horrors of cold and hunger, there's a harvest, verse 9. For he satisfies the thirsty, and he fills the hungry with good things. And then like an Aussie summer full of music festivals, it ends up in song. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And this is the pattern. This is the cycle that continues and becomes a repetitive one as the psalmist goes through history again and again and again and again. We receive the repeated cycle. Have a look up here. You see, firstly, we have in each of them a predicament. We have the crisis, the time of trouble. You see them in verses 4 to 9 like we just saw. Then in verse 10 to 16 in the midst of their rebellious chains. Verse 17 to 20 in their foolishness. Verse 23 to 32 as they reeled and staggered in the storm. And we'll handle verses 33 to 43 shortly. And then the cry for help. The next part of the cycle, they realise they're desperate. When they're at their wits' end, they cry out for help, verse 6. Verse 13, verse 19 and verse 28. And then the first smell of spring arrives. Salvation. We have resolution. In verse 7, a place to settle. Verse 14, he breaks away their chains. Verse 20, he sets forth his word and heals them. And verse 30, he guides them to a safe haven. And then there's, finally, the specific praise. The times of thanks. As they declare to God the mighty acts that he's done in freeing them from their trouble. Verse 9, satisfying their thirst and hunger. Verse 16, praise for cutting down those bars of iron, and a responsive praise in verse 22 and 32. But separating the resolution and this praise, the meat between the sandwich, is the refrain. We've heard it, haven't we? Give thanks to the Lord, his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And while the cycle changes in verses 33 to 43, we're left with the message of the refrain, aren't we? We're left with that message of God's love just ringing in our ears. And that's because it was meant to. That's what the psalmist wanted to do. Have a listen to verse 43. Whoever is wise, let them heed these things and consider the great love of God. You see, they're saying across the cycles, across these seasons, there is a song the psalmist says should be on our lips. A song of praise. A song of thanks. As we consider the great love of God. And yet we might find it hard to gain voice. For the psalmist can speak of these concrete acts. You know, they can describe these wonderful specific deeds for men. Those points of resolution. Those specific times when God intervened into the plight of his people. And yet, what do we do when those wonderful deeds for men seem absent in our life? Well, they say in the city of Melbourne, you can experience the four seasons in one day. You can have your boardies on and your thongs in the morning. Then by morning tea, you're putting your long sleeve top on and some shoes. By afternoon, you've got your winter woolies on as this southerly just blows across Bass Strait. And yet in the coming of Christ, it's like the four seasons. It's like the repeated cycle of Psalm 107 comes in one man. In our desperation, if we cannot recall the wonderful deeds of men, well, it seems maybe God has failed us in his love, but the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, I'll get you to turn there. In Romans 8, Paul says, no. He says, there's nothing. He's saying there's no event. There's no failure. There's no tragedy. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, from our skepticism, we move to Romans 8 with the Apostle Paul. Have a look as he starts from chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So there it is. Paul asks our question. He says, how do we know? How do we know that God is for us? In the midst of our despair, if we can't seem to identify, we look around at our circumstances and there are no wonderful deeds. Paul provides them with this promise. God works for our good. When, like those from Psalm 107, we are at our wits' end and we cry out to the Lord in our trouble, we have this promise. When we find ourselves in a repeated cycle, we find ourselves moving through four seasons because we seem so distant and removed, isolated and out in the cold, we have this promise. God works for our good. And yet before you guys engage that, I think we need to ask a question of ourselves. And the question is, what is good? So you have a listen from the Cambridge Dictionary as it attempts to define it. It's up there. Very satisfactory, enjoyable, pleasant, or interesting. And I think, you know, that pretty well matches most of how we might go about summing it up. And so with the promise here from Paul, it certainly sounds attractive. God working for our good, even if it doesn't somehow match my reality. You see, the problem here is we carry around these two ideas. God is working for our good, but then Paul says, but it's according to God's purpose. So if he was working for my good and according to my purpose and according to your purpose, perhaps, then we should look at our lives and find that they're very satisfactory. They're actually enjoyable, pleasant, or interesting. But when we don't experience that, we are puzzled. And we begin to believe if God has failed us. We look around and we cannot see any wonderful deeds for me that the history of Psalm 107 seemed to display. But Paul continues. He corrects our confusion. He reveals that God is working for our good. He's working for his purposes. And we go on to see that purpose is to conform us to the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, good, as Paul defines it, is to resemble Jesus. And if you're with us last year, as we went through Matthew, through the whole year, as we spent that year with Jesus, you remember what living with Jesus was like. I'm pretty sure you could with me say, I'm not sure it would be described as the world describes it, as satisfactory and enjoyable. You see, Jesus' life was very hard. Jesus' life was sacrificial. It was confronting. And it was filled with conflict. So we mustn't, but in that, we mustn't be confused by the world because it was truly good. Do you know what I mean? So when God promises us to work for our good, to conform us to the likeness of his Son, that is good. That is actually great news. And it's certainly gracious. Because God is helping us to be truly human. He is helping us to view the world the way he does. He's helping us to understand what true love is. He's improving our vision so that we might look on and see his wonderful deeds. And so the problem for us is how we think of good. Do we think of it the way the world does? Or do we think of it the way that God does? Because we might cry out in our trouble, but find that God is actually in it working for our good. Only to find that God is conforming me to the likeness of his Son. Only to find that God is being exceedingly gracious to me. Have a listen to an American pastor explain it. In his violent mercy, there is hope for every person. Your Lord is not just after your success, he is working to dethrone you as well. It's only when his throne is more important than yours that you'll find joy in the hard and humbling task of gospel ministry. And his grace will not relent until our hearts have been fully captured by his glory. Now that's good news. So let us not be too quick to cry out in our time of trouble, because God may, in his strong grace, be using it for our good. He may be helping us to be captured by his glory. He may be making us like Jesus. And yet, there are times, aren't there, when we with our Lord cry out in our trouble, moments of such heartache and despair that so disrupt us, that so dissettles, that so confuses, that we're tempted to think that God in his love has failed us. We're tempted to think, where are these wondrous deeds? And to be honest, this side of heaven, we may never know. We may never know why our distraught cries of trouble go, from our perspective, unheard. So does God still love us? Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. When that question gets lodged in our minds, and through our tears we say, does God still love me? Remember God's wonderful deed for men, when he sent his perfect son, when he by his grace sent his only son, when in his recklessness he did not spare his own son. Does God still love me? He gave up Jesus for us all. And so no matter what the future holds, may we join with Paul at the end of the chapter with these words. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may these words, they're meant for comfort. May they not actually bring anxiety for us, because we just can't seem to get a hold of them as we consider the height and the depth of the claims. Rather, may this comfort bring us refuge, so that whatever heartache, whatever emotions, whatever doubts, whatever my mind, whatever the words my mind tells me, we have this promise for all seasons, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Australian band Crowded House wrote the song Four Seasons in One Day. And this song of life from Psalm 107, we find a similar sort of pattern. The psalmist recounting the history of God's people, the up and downs of emotion, from the cold, from isolation, to the warmth of God's salvation. And yet perhaps when we struggle to identify the wonderful deeds that God does before men, when we feel that God has failed us, and perhaps question him, remember that one day. Remember on that one day when he didn't spare his son. Remember that one day when Jesus gave up his all. Remember that one day when he showered us with his love of God. And can I urge you this morning, can I encourage you to not make the mistake of the former American president, George W. Bush, who at ground zero to conclude a speech for the American people, he read this. I wonder if you see it. Do you see his mistake? I don't know whether he was trying to affirm America's in God we trust for peace, prosperity and the American way, or whether it was truly, come what may, we have this promise that we know of God's love in the midst of trouble and adversity. But please let us remember that the promise, this promise of God, rests upon the solid foundation that is what? Yell it out. That's right. This foundation that is on the solid foundation of Christ Jesus our Lord. Our confidence in the midst of trouble comes because of that one day. Becomes because of that one man. Because of that one cross. You see, the cross becomes our shelter through all seasons of life. That is the safe ground in the midst of our trouble. But let us not flee all trouble, as God may be using that for our good, not as our world defines it, but as God does, as he seeks to conform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So as you meet in weeks to come in your small groups and your DNAs, let us not automatically pray away the trouble, friends, because we may find God is using it. God might be using that family squabble. God may be using that marital tension. God may be using that B-grade gospel community. God may be using that persistent workmate. Is God using it to conform you to look like Christ? Because he desires to breed in you humility and patience and self-control and generosity and joy and kindness and faithfulness and love. But through those seasons of life, when the darkness blows in, and as a teenager you're diagnosed with clinical depression, and you wonder if God has failed you, remember that one day when God gave up all at the cross for all of us. When as a young married you see a questionable text on your husband's phone, remember that one day when God gave Christ Jesus up at the cross for all of us. When as a parent of teenage children the phone rings after midnight, remember that one day when God gave Christ Jesus up at the cross for all of us. When as a grandparent you see the chronic pain of your grandchild who is suffering more than you, remember that one day when God gave Christ Jesus up at the cross for all of us. Whatever season of life we find ourselves, whenever we wonder if God's love has failed us, remember that one day. On Easter Sunday this year, the AFES director of Australia, his wife Bronwyn Chin, passed away after a 3-year battle with pancreatic cancer. Before she passed away, she wrote a blog describing her journey, and this is part of it. I'm just so thankful for God's guidance in the Bible. The Bible is so clear about what God wants me to do now, even as I get sicker. Be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. God is so clear. This is what God wants me to do now. Thank him. As I write, I've just returned from a visit to my oncologist. He's urging us not to receive any more chemotherapy or other treatment out of compassion, because in his view, it only has a 10% chance of treating the cancer and will greatly erode the quality of life that I currently enjoy. It's hard to stop and have no treatment. It feels like I'm giving up. But I know I can still thank God. Leaving my husband and 4 gorgeous children grieves me greatly, and it makes me cry even every time I think about it, and even now as I write. However, I know God will take care of them. Please pray that each of them will continue to trust God into eternity. So I thank God for this gift of cancer because he is good. And he is using it for his purposes. The plans of the Lord are perfect. Even I don't know why in every reason for everything. All I know is that soon I will be with the Lord forever, because Jesus alone has saved me through his death and resurrection. And by his grace, it was Easter this year that she passed away, where that hope of hers became a reality. So whatever season of life we find ourselves, whatever coldness surrounds us, Christ is our refuge and shelter. So may we, with the author of Psalm 107 and the Apostle Paul, consider those words. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of God. Let's talk to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you. We want to thank you for the good work that you were doing in our lives to help us to look like your Son. We thank you for the reminder that nothing, even our tears, can separate us from your love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are sorry for the times we look around and perhaps try to pray away a strife in our life, which you might be using to break us, that you might be using to humble us. But Father, in those times of deep heartache and confusion, help us to believe that your love still abounds. So help us to see the grace of your transformation you will bring into our lives and the great wonder of the cross that is our refuge. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.